We continue the series on Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at Stop Going in Circles. And the scripture reading is found in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And the setting is this, that the Israelites have now been wandering in the wilderness for some time, and God wants to change their direction. Then we turned back and set out toward the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For a long time we've made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, "You've made your way around this country long enough. Now turn north." I like the way the Message says this. In verse 3 it says this, "Then God said, 'You've been going around in circles in these hills long enough. Go north.'" May the Lord bless His word to our hearts and minds this morning. We're looking at Stop Going in Circles this morning. First, I want to start with something a little humorous. I heard about three men who were out wandering in the wilderness one day, and they were hiking, and they came across a huge, violent, flooded, raging river. And so they had to cross it to get to their destination. And so the first man prayed, "God, give me the strength to be able to swim across this river." And poof, God gave him strong arms and strong legs. And after 2 hours of jumping in the current and swimming, he finally made it to the other side. And seeing that, the next man prayed, "God, please give me the strength and the tools to cross this river." And poof, there was a rowboat, and he had strong arms, and so he was able to row across the river in 30 minutes. And seeing that, the third man said to God, "God, please give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to cross this river." And poof, God turned him into a woman. He looked at the map and was able to walk 5 minutes upstream and cross the footbridge and make it to the other side. A woman sent that to me, by the way. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been lost and going in circles in life? Someone once said that GPS may be the single modern device that saved more marriages than anything else. So, and all the women said, amen. Go ahead, you can say it. Savannah and I, when we were on vacation, we were in Montreal. And being that we were in Canada, we had to pay, I found out about 20 minutes being in Canada, that you have to pay an international fee, so every day. And so we paid that fee, and then I also found that the reception wasn't necessarily as good, at least for AT&T. And so we're in Montreal, and all of a sudden the GPS would be maybe 3 blocks behind. Sometimes it was just spinning in circles, and then all of a sudden it would catch up. And so, of course, I didn't bring a map. I had the GPS, so why would I need a map? So we're trying to get onto the interstate, and we're in a bit of a hurry, and the GPS is going in the circles all of a sudden. It's just spinning on my phone, and so I'm getting Savannah to try to help me, and we can see it's coming up, and then all of a sudden, it's 3 blocks away, and then all of a sudden, we're right there, and we missed the turn, and there's a car right beside me, and we can't make the turn. And I said, "Savannah, we got to go around again," and so we go around again, and of course, the GPS is spinning in circles again. We finally catch up and we make that turn, but then we find it's one of those crazy things where you go underneath the interstate and you got to go left, then you got to go right, and you got to go right again. So we made the left, we made the right, we didn't make the final right because we're in the city, of course, so there's a guy right there, right, you know, pulling up beside me. So I said, "All right, we got to go around again." And it's like, "Oh, Dad, seriously?" And so I said, "Now watch for it again." So we go around again. By now, we're kind of figuring this out, right? So we finally go around again. We're able to make the left, the right, then the final right, and we get on. But sometimes in life, we get lost and we end up going in circles. And not just maybe when we're on vacation, but in life itself. And let me just ask you, what time in your life, think for a moment, or what thing in your life have you been going in circles lately? That maybe it's a relationship issue, or maybe it's a financial issue, or maybe it's just a dysfunctional behavior pattern. Where have you been going in circles lately? And I think this passage this morning offers us some insight into breaking those habits. And so I invite you to walk back into this story with me this morning. Last week we looked at Moses, and of course Moses and the people of Israel have been delivered from slavery and oppression of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, incredible miracle God provided in the wilderness. God led them to Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments, and then when they were ready to go across into the Promised Land, Moses sent 12 spies over. Now 10 spies came back and said, "Listen, the Promised Land is everything it was promised to be." That's why it's called the Promised Land, right? But there's one problem, and it's a giant problem, literally, okay? Excuse the pun. There's giants in the land, and there's no way we can take those giants. And I think all of us have been in a situation in life where we've faced a problem, maybe not literally giants, but a giant problem, and they said it's too much. But Caleb and Joshua had a minority report, and their report was this. It is a promised land. It's full of milk and honey. And they painted a picture of how great it was. And they said, there are giants in the land, but if we trust God, we can go forward and we can be victorious in this chapter of our life. Well, as you probably know, the people listened to the 10 spies with a negative report. They began to grumble and complain, and they wanted to go back to Egypt, of all places. Now, because of their grumbling and complaining, and because of their lack of faith, God told Moses they had to wander the wilderness for 40 years until there was a new generation ready to go forward. Now, last week we talked about the lessons of failure, and we talked about how sometimes failure can be a blessing in disguise. And so we talked about how failure can humble us, and how failure can teach us, and how it can help us to learn to trust God more. And so now, flash forward 40 years, and the people have been wandering in the wilderness for these 40 years, and all of a sudden God says, stop wandering in circles, it's time to go forward. Now, during those 40 years, God had done some amazing things, you know, because I think one way to look at this is that God not only had to take the people out of Egypt, God also had to take Egypt out of the people, right? And I think in the same way in our lives sometimes in the world is that way, right? So God not only had to take the people out of Egypt, God had to take Egypt out of the people. And so for those 40 years, God had given them a new calendar, a calendar that began the month that they were delivered from Egypt, and God had given them a new way of living with the Ten Commandments based on justice and caring for other people and even caring for the strangers in the land. And then God had given them a new way of looking, a way of looking forward, and God had given them a new diet, a diet of unleavened bread and also manna and quail every day. And so God was preparing them, and God had them meet some of the battles, some minor scrimmages in the land, and they were learning to trust God in the battles of life. And so God was doing a work in them. And I read this last week, but I'm going to read it again from Philippians 1:6, because I think it's a good note in our life, which is that Paul is writing to the Philippians and saying that God is continuing to do work in us, not just when we give our heart and life to the Lord, but all along the way of life. And so it says this in Philippians 1:6, the one who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the message of the people of Israel. They had been learning all this time, and so now it was time to stop going in circles. So turn to someone and say, stop going in circles. And now think to yourself, you don't have to say it to yourself, stop going in circles. And think a moment what you can do to stop going in circles in your own life if you feel stuck in some area. So I think the first thing is to just realize we need to stop going in circles. Now is the time. Now is a new season in life. And the second thing is to trust God for something new. And you know, that's not always easy in life. And the Israelites had been wandering in circles for some time, but it was time to trust God for something new. And in all that time, God had been working in their lives, but now was time to do something new. And isn't that the lesson that we see over and over in Scripture? Abraham and Sarah, they're in a land in Ur of the Chaldeans, and God called them to some place that was new. Think of Moses also in the wilderness when God called him from the burning bush to something new. Even though he had been in Egypt before, now he was going back as a whole new person. In so many of the chapters in life, God calls us to something new. Think of Paul on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden he sees the risen Lord, whom he's been persecuting, and God calls to him personally to a new life and a new mission. So where is God calling you to something new, and trust God for something new? I love this verse from Jeremiah 29, and I've read it before, but I think it's a blessing, and I want to read it this morning, and think about it as a promise to you this morning and your family. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. I have plans for you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. God has something new for us. God is a God of second chances and third chances and however many chances we need, because God's place is a place of grace. And so trust God for something new. And the third and final thing is remember the lessons that you have learned. Remember the lessons that you have learned. You know, whatever season in life we're in, God is teaching us some lessons in life that are valuable and will be useful as we go into the next season or chapter in life. Now, the book of Deuteronomy, I don't know if you know what Deuteronomy means, but literally it means second word, all right? And so in the vernacular of the day, it means to remember or to recall, to remember or to recall. And so Moses, in his final chapter of life, gathers all the people together, and he wants them to remember the lessons that they have learned. And over again in the book of Deuteronomy, you hear the word remember being used. And so in Deuteronomy 11:2, you can read it, it says, remember today what you've learned about the Lord through the experiences with him. Remember what you have learned, not just in this day, but that whole chapter, that whole season of life, so you're able to go forward into the promised land and be successful this time. So God was teaching them. And as I said, Moses reminds them how God had brought them out of Egypt, how God had delivered them, how God had provided for them in the wilderness as they wandered in that wilderness, and God had provided daily manna and quail, and God had given a new way to worship with the Seder meal and with the Day of Atonement and a new calendar and the Ten Commandments and this whole new way of life. And so God is saying, listen, you need to remember. And I want to read another passage that sounds similar. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And it says this, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Words that Jesus quoted in the wilderness in his trial for the 40 days. Where is God inviting you to remember the lessons you have learned in your life? What lessons are you learning? I was reading an article about Frank Reich, the new coach for the Colts, and I actually knew Frank Reich's high school football coach, and was a friend of mine when I began my ministry, and so he often talked about Frank Reich, and at that time, Frank Reich had just gone from Maryland up to the Buffalo Bills, and often invited them to go up with his sons and to see the games, and he has an amazing story of faith. Of course, you know that he was the offenses coordinator that brilliantly led the Eagles to that upset for the Patriots. Early in his career, Frank Reich said that when he was playing for Maryland, he was all about football. But then he had a shoulder injury, and he said it was a devastating time. He said it rocked his life and his faith life. But he said in that chapter of life, he learned to trust God and learned the values and the priorities of life that were to take him on. And of course, he said he came back. He said, the only problem is during my injury, the guy that came to the fore was a really good player. You may know his name, Boomer Esiason. He said he was so good, he had a hard time getting his position back. But he was able in one game when Maryland was playing the Miami Hurricanes to bring them back against, at that time, was the largest deficit in college football history to a victory. And you'll recall that later on in Buffalo, he brought the Buffalo Bills back from the greatest deficit in playoff history, and still, I believe the record holds today, and came back against Houston. But he said in all this that God's priorities were something that he learned in that time when he had an injury, when he had a difficulty in life. He was able to break a difficult circle, learn something new, and trust God. And he remembered those lessons. So where is God teaching you lessons in life today? Where are you going in circles? Maybe it's a behavior pattern. Maybe it's a relationship pattern. Maybe it's difficulties at work, or maybe it's your spiritual life. There's something that you just keep going round and round in circles. I think God would tell us that he's working in our life, and there's something new. And through all the trials and difficulties in life, if it seems like we're going through wilderness, then God might be working in that moment. I want to read again what Linda read earlier by Paul to the Romans. And Paul is painting this picture and reminding them, a church going through persecution, that even in our most difficult moments, that God is teaching us, God is working in us. And Paul writes again, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And God is working in and through all the circumstances in our life for something new. I want to close with this thought. Robert Fulghum, who's a pastor and author whom I love, wrote this great book called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And he said he had this aha moment in this small grocery store in a small rural town in Iowa. And he said as he was standing in line, all of a sudden he saw two signs. and they touched them in a new way, in a deep and profound way. And the first one was a sign on the revolving door to go out. And the sign said this: the only way out is in. And he thought to himself for a moment, you know, we're so concerned about the outside of our life, but the truth is the only way out, the way we can impact what is outside ourselves, is to allow God to do something within ourselves. So what is it that God is working in you? What is it that God is working inside you today that can impact all the way that you live your life? And the second thing was this. It was taped to the cash register, and it said this: please accept your change and take it with you. And he thought to himself, please accept your change and take it with you. You know, we have to accept the change that God makes in our life, and we have to take it with us if we're going to make an impact on our world today. And I think those lessons are good lessons to put with your list of lessons that God is working on you with. So ask yourself this morning, where am I going in circles? What area of my life do I need to break that pattern and allow God to do something new? So be willing to stop going in circles and then trust God for something new. And then finally, remember the lessons that God has taught you. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you that you are with us through all of life, not just in the promised land, but sometimes when life seems like we're wandering in the wilderness. But we know that you're there. You're there with us to walk with us all the way in life. And even when it seems like we're going in circles, you're teaching us lessons. So, Lord, help us to break any destructive, defeating patterns in our life, to stop going in circles and to trust you for something new. And then, Lord, help us to remember the lessons you've taught us, that we can be blessed in the chapters ahead. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and all God's people said, amen.